We love you and we thank you for the invite to be here, the invitation to come. But I want to hear from God this afternoon. I'm not here simply to preach, and I'm not here simply to listen, but I want God to change. I want God to move. I want God to work. Too many times we come to church just to listen. We come to church just to listen. I'm tired of just listening. God, work on me and change who I am. Change my spirit, change my life, because that's the only way I can be saved. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I trust that you do. Turning to the book of 2 Kings. Book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. Begin reading verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died." I'll let the pages quit turning before I go any further. 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 14 through 19 says, "Now Elisha was sick of a sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bows and arrows." Let me stop here and tell you, he obeyed. He obeyed. "And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it." He obeyed. "And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said unto him, Open the window eastward. And he opened it." He obeyed. "Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot." He obeyed. "He said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of the deliverance of Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them." He obeyed. "And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice." He obeyed. But here's what I want to start preaching to you from. And he stayed. "And the man of God was wroth with him." Why? He had obeyed. He had obeyed every commandment. "The man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hadst smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." By the grace of God this afternoon, I want to preach on resolved to win. Resolved to win. Resolve to win. You may be seated. James Michener is a novelist, a writer, and there was a story that he had, an interview he had taken and written in a magazine. Now, I don't know too much about James Michener. I haven't read many of his novels. But they tell me there's been some theater productions made from these. But he wrote, he said, people must be stimulated today. Businesses must be engaging. The article was written as, what will you do with yourself in the 21st century? He said, businesses must be engaging. Politicians must be video presentable. Children must not be bored in school. Teachers have to compete with television. I'll tell you why children are having a difficult time learning is because too many of them sit in front of the television all the time. And teachers are having to compete with television. They're having to make it more interesting. They're having to make it more flamboyant. They're having to do so many things. It used to be that when they didn't have television, they could go to school and learn something because teachers didn't have to compete with things. But now they're having to compete. He said, today, people must be amused. He understood the 20th and the 21st century. Let me stop right here before I go on and say, is the church having to be amused today in order to be prosperous? Will you turn your preacher loose to preach, or does he have to amuse your spirit? Will you turn your preacher loose and listen and obey the word of God, or must he compete with everything else going on in this world in your life? It's time we understand that God is not in the amusing business. God is in the saving business. God is not here to amuse you. God is not here to please you. God is here to save you and set you free from your sin and give you a deliverance that you have been looking for, but he's not here to amuse you in any way. We have the idea that if things aren't done the way we want them done, we'll just switch stores. We'll switch brands. We'll switch political parties. We'll change schools. We'll even change our allegiances and our loyalties to get what we want. I've never seen so many people change in churches in all my life because they don't like what their preacher preaches. I can go across town and get what I want to hear. I can go down the road and hear what I want to hear. I'm telling you, we're not in this to amuse people. It's not time to change parties. It's not time to change your ideals. It's time to get a loyal attitude that says, I am here to love God. I am here to serve God. I am here to praise God. I am here to win. I trust I will not cross your theology, but if I do today, that's too bad. You've been wrong before. But I am here to tell you that you can obey to the letter and still be lost. You can listen and obey to the letter and still be lost. Because there was not a resolve in your spirit to win the war and to win. Let me tell you, you can obey everything and still be lost. You can obey everything and still lose. But there's got to be a resolve in your spirit that says, I must win. I've got to win. I've got to go all the way. I've got to make it all the way. It's not enough just to obey my pastor. It's not enough just to listen to the church. But there's got to be a spirit in me that says, I must continue. I must win. I've got to make it. I've got to be saved. I can't be distracted. I can't let my sights get on the things. But I've got to have a resolve in my spirit to win. I respectfully submit to you that we cannot preach on enough things that are wrong anymore. We have got to get a spirit that says, God, I want to please you more than anything else in the world. I want to please you more than anything else. When will it come to a time where we won't just meet the minimums? Too many churches and too many people in churches are just trying to meet the minimums. They're just trying to barely meet the minimums. What do you require, church? What do you require, pastor? I just want to make the minimums. It's time we throw the minimums out the window and say, God, I want to maximize my experience with you. I want to maximize my love for you. I want to maximize what I'm doing for you, God. Give me the attitude and the resolve to win. Joshua obeyed. But he was not committed. Joash was obeyed, but he was not committed to the destruction of his enemy. Let me tell you something. You can obey, but until you get it out of your heart, until you resolve to destroy the enemy that is destroying your soul, until you resolve the fact that I am not going to be like I am. I don't like it like I am. I'm going to change who I am and change the attitude that I have and change the spirit that I have. Until we get that kind of resolve, we will be nothing but obedient, and we cannot destroy the enemy that's trying to conquer us. I respectfully submit to you today that I am not afraid of the doctrine we are passing down. I am not afraid of the wonderful apostolic songs. We're having powerful services. Brother Kinsey, I'm not even worried about our standard of holiness. It's intact. I don't worry about that. But what I am resolved, what I am scared of, is that we don't have the resolve and the desire and the integrity to serve God. I'm not worried about the doctrines that's being preached. They're all right. The standards are all right, but I'm worried about our integrity and our desire to serve God. If we do not get a desire and an integrity to serve God, it won't make any difference how hard they preach. We will never line up. It don't make any difference how easy they preach it. We'll still never line up. It doesn't make any difference what they do. We just don't have the integrity or the desire to serve God. I'm telling you that today, it's integrity and desire and resolve more than anything else to serve God. We won't have people slipping around doing things on the side when they really get a resolve to serve God. The preacher doesn't have to be a policeman when you really decide to serve God.
when you really get a hunger to, I want to know Him. I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. I want to serve Him. Nobody has to follow you around and make sure you're obeying all the rules, because something about my integrity, I need my integrity intact. I want my integrity intact with God, and nobody has to follow me around because I've got a hunger to serve God. I've got a desire to serve God. I want to be right. We have an opportunity to show the world that we are a people who have made up our mind to serve God. We need to have resolved one thing and make one thing clear. And we need to make it clear to God. We need to make it clear to the devil. We need to make it clear to the church. We need to make it clear to the world. We need to make it clear to our family. We need to make it clear to ourselves. We need to make it clear to our friends that I have resolved to serve God, and nothing is going to turn me around, and nothing's going to deter me from serving God, and nothing's going to turn me around from serving God. I have made up my mind to serve God, and nothing will distract me or turn me around. We our own worst enemy. I'm telling you, the devil is fighting a battle that he cannot win. The devil is fighting a battle that he cannot win. God is here to set you free, and the devil can do nothing about it. The devil can do nothing about it. The only one that can get in the way of serving God is you. You're the only one that can keep you from serving God. When God decides to set you free, the devil can't do anything about it. When you resolve to the fact that, God, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, the devil can't do anything about it. Let me tell you, we say it, we've got the old cliches, well, the devil has made me do it. The devil did this. The devil didn't do anything. The devil simply put a temptation there, but your own integrity was not in line with God enough that you were able to say no. You just followed your own instincts, and you followed your own temptations, and you follow your own desires. But when you get a resolve to serve God, and you get a desire to serve God, nothing can turn you around. Nothing can change your mind. Nothing can get you to turn around. I made up my mind to serve God, and nothing can turn me around. God can use you in spite of your broken home. God can use you in spite of your broken dreams. God can use you in spite of your broken health. God can use you in spite of everything that's going on. God can use you in spite of yourself. When you allow God to work inside of your life. But too many times we let the devil take our inheritance, and we let the devil take our future, and we don't keep our resolve for another day, but it goes by the wayside. So I'm telling you, it's time the church gets a decision and makes a decision that nothing is going to turn me around. I'm not going to let the devil steal our future. I'm not going to let the devil steal our inheritance. Can I preach to some parents in here for a few minutes? You need to not make only sure that you're serving God. Make sure your inheritance is serving God. Make sure your future is serving God. Sometimes we get so concerned with us, making sure I'm serving God. What about my family? I respectfully submit to you what Joshua said. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, it's not just my own commitment, but it's my home's commitment. It's my house's commitment. We will serve the Lord as long as they're in my house, and as long as they're under my roof, and as long as they're eating my food, and as long as they're sleeping in my bed, and as long as they're sleeping under the roof that I'm providing for them. Let me tell you something. I don't care if they're 5 or 55. They're still going to come to church because they're part of my family. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not in my notes, but I want to help some parents here today. You need to go through your children. I don't care what age they are. You need to go through their room and clean out some stuff. If you're gonna resolve for your family to win serving God, you need to go through and clean out stuff. You say, well, that's a violation of privacy. Let me tell you something. There's nothing private in my house as long as I'm the one paying the bills. I'm going to go through it because they might be bringing in stuff you don't know what all coming in that house. and you're wondering why I just can't get the victory over some things, and why my children can't get the victory over some things, you need to go back. They might have some stuff hidden away and stored away that they don't want you to know about, that you need to go and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Let me tell you something. Joshua walked through the camp, and it wasn't his problem, but there's something about they weren't able to win. If you're having trouble getting the victory, you need to go through your house and walk room after room and find anything that could keep and be potentially dangerous to your salvation and to your victory. You need to be resolved to win. You need to get a desire to win. You know what? There is something about serving God. I am hungry to serve God. I am hungry for the power of God. I'm hungry for the working of God. So much to the extent that I will do anything to bring about the glory and the power and the working and the moving of the Holy Ghost. I may not like what I've got to do, but God, if I want to have the victory and I need the power and I want your salvation in my home, I must do some things. Go through and walk through your home and say, is this potentially keeping me from serving God? Is that keeping me from serving God? Is something else keeping me from serving God? And clean out that home until your children may walk in and they'll never say a thing, but they'll get angry because you don't have their things there anymore. They may get angry with you. Somebody's been in my room. They took my stuff. You notice they never say what it is. Took my stuff. What are you talking about? Parents, you need to wake up and say, I took your stuff. Because that's not conducive to serving God. And as for this house, we'll serve God. When you get old enough and you decide you want to move on and live in the world, you can make that decision. But as for me and this house, we're going to serve God. I've got a resolve to make it. I've got a resolve to win. But too many times we let the devil dictate to the church. I was preaching the other night at home, and I decided that I was tired of the devil just walking in and leaving our lives a mess and come to the altar and ask the devil out, and he never puts stuff back. So I said, church, before you ask the devil to leave your life, I want you to tell him, you get back here and put that stuff back you took. Hey, we do it to our kids. Put that back. Devil, before you leave, put the stuff back where you got it. Give me my home back. Give me my family back. Give me my life back. Give me my spirit back. You say, oh, he can't give you that spirit. He took it from you. Why can't he give it back? Why can't he replace it? Why can't he put it back where it belongs? Come on, somebody. You walk in and your life's still a mess. You need to tell the devil, put the stuff back where you got it. I resolve to the fact I'm going to serve God, but you're not going to leave until my life is back in place. You're not going to leave here until you put the stuff back. I'm not going to let you leave until everything is back in place in my life. Come on, somebody, we need to get a resolve to serve God, a resolve to win, a resolve to the fact that I'm going to serve God, and the devil can't do anything about it. He may put obstacles in my way, but it's just a challenge for me to see how long it will take until I can dispose of it. It's just a challenge to see if I can get rid of it faster than I got rid of it yesterday. Come on. Well, God, I don't know how long this trial is going to last. I'll tell you how long a trial lasts. I'm going to tell you how long a trial lasts. As long as you let it. As long as you let it. A trial will last as long as you let it last. But when you bring it to God and you leave it with God, it's no longer a trial. It's no longer a trial. When I leave it in his hands, it's no longer a trial. I say, God, you resolve it. I can't deal with it anymore. And so there it is. And God deals with it. And God moves it. God has to work in it. And it may take God a year. It may take God 2 years. But for me, it's no longer a trial because I've committed it to him. It's only a trial as long as I carry it around. And it's trying me. As long as it keeps trying me. That's what a trial is. Something that tries me. As if I let go of the trial, it can no longer try me. Remember what Psalm 150 says. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless. I'm not so sure the Jews had the wrong idea about putting a doorkeeper at the church door. You want to come in the church house? You got to start worshiping outside that door and worship your way inside. You want to start praising God? You got to start out there before you come through. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Too many people carry their church problems inside the church and carry their worldly problems inside the church. It's time we get to a place where I come to God. I leave my trials with God and I get into the presence of God and I begin to love and worship and magnify God and praise him and adore him. All about my desire to serve God. It's all about my resolve and my integrity to serve God. I'm going to win. I'll give you all a sermon you can work on. All you preachers. The difference between David's worship and Solomon's ascent. Solomon told the queen, but he said, come and watch me go up to the house of the Lord. And the spirit was taken from her because of the ascent with which he went to the house of God. But David didn't ask for anybody to watch his ascent. What David did is when he got in the presence of God, he didn't care who was looking. He didn't care what was going on. David began to worship God. David began to praise God. David spent his life praising God and worshiping God and worshiping the power and the glory and the holiness of God. He didn't worry about his enemies. Like it was preached last night, that he waited until he was taken and escorted to the throne. He never assumed. Solomon said, come on, you watch my ascent into the temple. David never said that. David said, my whole life is worshiping God. If I go up and to take the throne again, so be it. But if I have to stay here, I'm still going to praise and I'm still going to worship God no matter what the situation is. Some of us need to learn how to praise God. If I never get to the front, if I never become a deacon, if I never become a Sunday school teacher, if I never sing in a choir, but I'm going to still praise God. I'm still going to worship God. I'm still going to love God. I may never have a position of authority. I may never have a position in church, but my whole desire is serving God and loving God and praising God. I am resolved to win. I won't turn back. I won't go to the left or to the right. I will not be dissuaded. My resolve is firm. My grasp is tight. And my power is strong. And nothing can defeat me. Too many Christians have a defeatist attitude. Too many Christians have a defeatist attitude. We get knocked down. And we stay there until a brother or a sister comes by and says, come on now. Come on. And now we're both worn out. When you get the attitude, I don't need any help getting up. The devil's not going to defeat me. I'm not going to lay here and wallow in my anguish and wallow in my problem and wallow in my sin. But I will get back up because there's a resolve in my spirit to serve God. I wish God would plant it in the heart of each person in this place that the power and the glory and the Holy Ghost would cause me to get back up. I want to please God so bad that I will get back up and I will praise God and I will worship God. Why is it the only time we can worship God is when we're on the mountaintop? I need him in the valley worse than I ever needed him before in my life. Let me help some of you. The devil only knows where you are when you tell him where you are. I said the devil only knows where you are when you tell him where you are. Next time you get in the middle of your weakest struggle, and next time you're so worn out, you don't know if you can go, I challenge you to hit that back door a dead run and run around this place as many times as your body will physically carry you. And praise God as hard as your body will allow. And praise God with as much spirit and enough worship that it puts the devil to wondering, am I really ever getting through these people? But most of us come in. And we want everybody to know we're in the middle of a trial. We want everybody to know we're in the middle of a problem. We want everybody to know that things aren't going good. Because I can get some sympathy. And about four or five people will carry me down the altar now, weep and cry and spit all over me and rub my back and rub my head until I feel better. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. My God, I'm in the middle of a trial. My God, I'm in the middle of a problem. My God, I'm in the middle of a situation. My God, things aren't going good. My husband's leaving me. My wife's quitting. My children are going. But I've got to resolve to serve God. I've got to resolve to praise God. I've got to resolve to love God. The world's not going to get me, God. The world's not going to take me out. I've got to resolve to serve God. I've got a spirit about me that says I cannot be defeated. I refuse to be defeated. You may see, Satan is terrified by the people of God. I said, Satan is terrified by those who are called of God. He's scared of you. You don't believe this? Let me share with you the scripture in Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. He didn't say he was going to take him under his feet. He said, and I will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That's why the devil's afraid of you. That's why the devil's afraid of the people of God. He's afraid that you are going to bruise him shortly. So if I can get them sidetracked, if I can get them off course just a little bit, then they can't step on me. Here, if the devil can't get you by carnality, and most of you he can't in this room, he's going to get you with exhaustion. For the most part in this building today, the devil cannot get you with carnality. So what the devil is going to do is the devil is going to get you exhausted until where you are so tired you just don't feel like going to church anymore. You're going to get so tired till you just feel like, what's the use? I'm just so exhausted. If I could just get away for a couple, two, 3 days. If I could just go someplace for two, 3 days and just get away and catch my breath, I'll be all right. And he gets you on the run, and when you go, you never come back rested. You listen to me. I'm preaching right now to you. If you don't get anything else, get what I'm preaching to you right now, because it affects everybody from the young ones to the old ones. He will get you with exhaustion. But Jesus said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whenever you feel so tired, that's when you need the most to come to the presence of God. And you need to start basking in the presence of God, lifting up your hands and praising and worshiping God. Not just a praiser. Anything can praise God. Anything with breath can praise God. Anything with breath can praise God. You hear me? Anything with breath can praise God. But God is looking for the true worshipers that will worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a difference between a praiser and a worshiper. Sometimes I'm afraid we come in and just praise God. We need to get to a place where we come in and worship him. When we start coupling the truth with the Spirit. Let me help you out with that scripture. That's a small s and a small t. That's my spirit and my truth. When I start worshiping him from my spirit, and when I start accepting him with my truth, then he can be invited to come in and move in with his spirit, capital S, and his T, capital, his truth. He can move into us when I worship him with my spirit. And when I work, that means when I start getting into it, I may not feel like it at first, but my spirit kicks in. Me, I start kicking in. I don't feel anything. I just don't feel anything when I come to the presence of God. You know, I've been serving God now for a while. I just don't feel anything. That's because you're not putting your spirit into feeling. If I want to feel God, the Bible says, feel after him that happily you might find him. I don't know where you are, but I'm looking for you. I don't know where you are. Too many people now get sidetracked. I don't feel God, I'm looking for instant gratification. And because I can't feel God, I'm going to go back to the world where I can find instant gratification. Where I can find, but God said, if you'll just seek after me, you will find me. And when you get into my presence, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When I start seeking him, he will reward me. How does he reward me? He rewards me with giving me some of his spirit. He rewards me with giving me some of his joy. He rewards me with giving me some of that what I've been looking for to make it to tomorrow and to the next day. I'm looking for God because I want to find him so I can be rewarded with the joy I'm looking for and the happiness I'm looking for and the peace I'm looking for. There is no burnout with God. There is no burnout with God. The only burnout a person feels is when they're doing the will of the flesh. I hear preachers, well, I'm suffering burnout. Let me tell you something. If you're suffering burnout, you've been trying to do it on your own. You need to come back and find the refreshment of God and let God come in and God bring the refreshing. There is no burnout in the will of God. There's no burnout in the will of God. God never expected you to live for him by yourself. God never expected you to live for him by yourself. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God said he would stick closer to you than a brother. It was never intended for you to serve God by yourself. I'm resolved to win. Satan wants to sabotage your success because you were created to win and not to lose. You are created to win and not to lose. Elisha told Joash, son, you were put in this position to win and to utterly destroy the enemy. And you've obeyed me in everything. But I wish you would have taken and beat those arrows till there wasn't nothing but feathers stuck in your hand. I wish you would have taken and beat those arrows until you... He didn't tell him how many times to beat it. He said, beat the ground. He should have beat them until there wasn't nothing but a bunch of feathers in his hand. You need to get the resolve that says, I'm going to defeat this thing in my life if it's the last thing I do. And keep beating it and beating it and beating it until I end up with nothing but a bunch of feathers in my hand. Come on, some of you have put up with things too long in your Christian walk with God. It's time you take and beat them and strike the ground until there's nothing but a bunch of feathers left in your hand. You've obeyed the preacher. You've obeyed the church, but you're still battling some things. Beat that thing until it's nothing but a bunch of feathers. You need to stay right on top of that, whatever it is, and stay right after it until it is completely defeated in your life. But too many of us do a token about coming to the altar and crying and trying to get this thing out of our life. And when we get back up, a few days later, the desire is right back. That spirit is still plaguing me. That spirit is still coming over me. That spirit is still bothering me. How many times have I seen people come and God delivers them from something, but they never stayed there until they got the joy to take the place of the deliverance. And they go back a few days later and you see them doing the same thing. And you think, my God, I thought they just got the victory over that. Because they didn't beat it. It was just a token. It was just a token. They didn't stay there until it wasn't anything but a bunch of ashes in their hand. The Christians in this building who you have been battling things for a long time in your life, I am telling you, you need to get a resolve about beating that thing in your life until it never comes back to haunt you again. Devil, I have had this long enough. You have put this temptation in me long enough. You put this infirmity in front of me long enough. You put this stuff in front of me long enough. This is the last time I'm ever going to see it again. This is the last day I'm ever going to face it again. Oh, come on, somebody. This is the last day. Preachers, you've got stuff you've been carrying around. I'm a preacher, I know. There's stuff you've been carrying around. and your saints have been carrying around, and the wonderful, precious people of God have been carrying around, and we've been carrying around this baggage, and we come and we say, God, take it away from me. And a few minutes later, we go back and pick up the same thing. If God was able to take it off your back then, he's able to keep it off your back. If he's able to save it once and deliver you once from it, he's able to take it away from you so it never comes back. I'm telling you, but you got to have a resolve in your spirit. I'm going to beat this thing until it never comes back. I'll not live another day with it. I'll not spend another night with it. I'll not have it another moment in my life. The people of God are still dealing with Syria. All because of Joash. The people of Israel are still putting up with the garbage of Syria. All because of Joash. Every time you pick up the newspaper and read about Syria doing this to Israel, or Syria doing that to Israel, or Syria doing something else, just remember this story I'm preaching to you. If Joash would have beat those arrows until there was nothing left, he would have never been plagued, and they still would never be plagued with Syria, because Syria would not exist. And you're putting up with things in your life today that you should have given to God, that you should have given to God a long time ago. And you're still putting up with garbage that you could have given to God a long time ago and never put up with it, but you're still being plagued with it today, and it just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you could have taken care of it long many years ago. I'm telling you, you need to get a resolve in your spirit, a desire to serve God, to a place where God, take it away. I'm not going to live another day with it. I'm not going to spend another moment with it. Take it out of my life. Get rid of it! 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, for this which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. That's wonderful. But the second part of that verse is more important to me than the first part. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him. God, I'm committing this back to you. I'm committing it back to you, God. I'm giving it all back to you. You take care of it. And God is able to take care of it. He said he was big enough. He is committed to take care of it against that day. Amen. When you get a desire and resolve to serve God, you will believe God and be persuaded that God can take care of everything in your life. I'm closing the Apostle Paul's statement in the book of Romans. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate me. Why? The Apostle Paul had made up his mind that I'm going to serve God. Apostle Paul made up his mind to serve God. I'm going to tell you, I think Paul had his share of problems. Brethren, I want my church to be bigger, but I pastor a church of 250 people. I pity Paul with 40,000 Ephesus. Can you imagine pastoring 40,000 people? 20,000 in Galatia. Another 15,000 Pergamos. He had to share problems. But he said, I resolved one thing. I resolved one thing, that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 8 says, for now I am ready to be offered. My time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not only to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. It hasn't always been easy. I asked God for that thorn in the flesh to be gone. It stayed there every single day. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. I've been faithful to God. I've been loving God. But there is one thing. Whatever comes my way, I resolve the fact that I'm going to serve God. I resolve the fact I'm going to love God. I resolve the fact that he's able to keep me. I resolve the fact that I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I resolve the fact that nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing can get a hold of me. Nothing can change my mind. Nothing can deter me. Nothing can turn me around. Hallelujah. Of all the things that this blessed and wonderful church is passing down, there's one thing they never can pass down, And that's your resolve and integrity to serve God. It's your resolve and integrity to serve God. I'm asking the church in this day, serve God. Resolve to win. I will make it. I will serve God. Well, I've been serving God for 30 years. Why turn around and get changed up now? That's wonderful. But don't lose your attitude of worship in that 30 years. Don't lose your attitude to praise God in that 30 years. Well, I've earned the fact that I can just sit here and sit back and relax and worship God. No, it says praise Him with all the strength that you have. You may not have as much strength as you used to have to get up and run around this building, but you've got to praise God with what strength you've got. You didn't get a license to sit back and relax. You didn't get a license to sit back and not do anything. You didn't get a license. When God gave you this, He said, and He made this charge. He said, I want you to love me with your whole heart, your whole mind, and all your strength. I want you to love me with everything. You may not have as much strength as you did when you were 20, but serve Him with everything you got. Serve God with everything you got. Love Him with everything you've got. Get resolved to serve God. You didn't get a license to sit back and do nothing, but it's time to resolve to win.